We are in the last part of our Insecure series, and today I want to talk to you on a topic called Four Steps to Confidence. Four Steps to Confidence. I believe this series on insecurity has been life transforming. However, all this information was great, amen? But unless we walk through it, amen? Unless we practice it, we would be like that dog in front of bacon. You know, we can smell it, but we can't taste it. And God wants you to have the bacon. Amen. Amen. God is good. So God wants you to be secure and confident. Confidence and security is connected to faith. God wants you to be full of faith, in other words. Amen. Before I get into my preaching, can I just stop a second and announce that we have some good news at New Life. Amen. That an awesome couple, they're leaders in this church, they got engaged over the last week. And that's Micah and Cammy. Would you guys give them a hand? Come on, guys, wave. Right there. That handsome guy over there, he's taken, ladies. I'm sorry. And that pretty beautiful young woman over here, she's also taken. So find somebody else. Okay? Those guys are gone. Congratulations, guys. It's such a blessing to see God, unite people and join them. And if you're still single, God has somebody for you. Just be patient and trust Him and be very confident. So today's message is for you. If you're single, be very confident. Ladies, guys love confident girls. And girls like confident men. Amen. Fake it till you make it. My wife told me I was too cocky. I said, I was just confident when I was, that's all. I was just confident. Amen. Well, four steps to confidence. I want us to open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Verses 1 through 8. And if you are a single person between 19 and 29, we do have a college age group in this church. So you can join. Just a hint. Trying to help you. Okay? It's an amazing group, and maybe you can meet somebody there. Now, today we're going to talk about David again. And see, when we look at New Testament, in the New Testament, there's a lot of philosophy. There's a lot of theology, like Romans. Romans doesn't really show us the life of Apostle Paul much, right? New Testament doesn't really show us, except for a few instances, like Peter would speak before he thinks, right? But most of it is talking about God's love and about what God has done for us. But when we look at the Old Testament, we can see the mess. The people God used were. So see, if you look in the New Testament, you'll get a lot of theology. You get a lot of information about what God has done, about the grace of God, about forgiveness, about miracles of Jesus, right? But if you look at the Old Testament, you'll see regular people just like you and me. And their struggles, and their problems, and their weaknesses. And you can see God who came through for those people. That's the same God that will come through for you and for me. Amen. So that's what we're looking at today. That's why sometimes we look in the Old Testament so we can see regular people. Okay? So this is the story. David goes out with his 600 guys on a raid. David is not a king yet at this point of his life. But he's not a lonely guy either. He's not a shepherd boy anymore. David is kind of like a warlord now. He's anointed to be king of Israel, but he is not king of Israel. He's still in a stage where King Saul is chasing him, trying to kill him. However, David is a leader, so leaders gather followers around him. Right? So David gathers a group of followers. There's 600 men, plus women and children. You know, they would live like a small town, small community. So David goes on a raid, and that's what they did to make money in those days, if you were a war leader. And so he goes and he fights God's enemies. So he justifies that way, I guess. But look what happens. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home, so they go on a raid, they come back, and something horrible has happened. When David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that Amalekites had made a raid into Negev and Ziklag. So while David was raiding, the Amalekites came and raided his home. He should have left some men to protect his city. But David is young. He's learning how to be a king. They found that Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. That was nice of them. So they burned the town, but they didn't kill anybody. Why? I think they thought they could make more money selling slaves. So it's a double whammy, okay? You rob the town, you take people's gold, you take people's supplies and food and cows and sheep and goats, and you take the people, and then you can sell them. Okay, in those days, that's what they did. So, but they didn't kill anyone. Next verse. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. Obviously, that's what would have been done. Let's just keep going. Next. David's two wives. Yes, David had two wives. If you're new, that's what they did in those days. That's not what God had planned, but that's what the culture was. And a lot of times people follow more culture than they follow God. Amen. And you just don't, you can't imagine how much culture affects you today and how far from God's plan sometimes our cultures are. Okay, so don't look at David and say, well, I can't believe you did that. That was the culture. That was like the norm those days. Everybody did it. And it's like they justified it. You know, there was no Bible in those days. There was, of course, a Torah, but, you know, they kind of loosely followed that, you know. And so David had two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. So David has his wives and kids there as well. David was now in great danger because his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. And they began to talk of stoning him. Okay? So David, you are a leader. I can't believe you didn't protect our own families. Here we are raiding for you. Here we are fighting your wars, your battles, but our families get destroyed. What's the point of riches if you don't have a family? What's the point of glory and victory if you don't have a family? So here's a little lesson for us, kind of a byproduct of this message, is that you can win wars, you can get a lot of plunder, meaning you could be in work and you can work 60 hours a week. But then when you come home and there's no family, you lost. Here David realized, and I think God is trying to teach him a lesson here, what's important in life. What is the most important things in your life? It's your God and it's your family. It's relationship with your God and it's relationship with your family. So today, if you are working too much, if you are in your own head, if you play video games and you ignore, or if you, right? Because you don't have to work too much. Some work too much. Others play video games too much. They're in a virtual world. Some are, my wife is exposing my sins. Some are on phone too much, meaning on Facebook too much. Some are too negative and they have no energy left for their families. You know what I'm talking about? You're there, but you're not there. Your mind is preoccupied. The joy of the Lord makes you want to do stuff, makes you want to live life to the fullest. However, sorrow and negativity, anxiety and fear sometimes make you just sit there and moan and groan because life is not what it should be. My question to you, when is life going to be what it should be? Life will never be what in your head it should be. Or it could be today everything it should be. Amen. I fell for this trap so much. I had this idea that when our church will grow and God will bless our church, then I'll truly be happy. And then I realized we broke the 300 barrier. And then I found out that I'm still not happy with the number. I remember when we were 30 and 40 people, and my prayer was, God, if only we can grow to 100, I would be so happy. You think when we grew to 100, I was happy? No. 200, happy? 300? 400? No, see, it's not what's out there. It's what's now. God, Paul says, I have learned to live content in everything. He says, I could be rich and I'm content. I could be very poor and I'm content. Right? So it's learning. Life is not about looking forward to be happy. It's learning to be happy now. Listen, young people, don't waste your life. Listen, middle age, don't waste any more of your life. God wants today. Jesus Christ has come to make your life fullest today. But you could be a passive aggressive type. You could be, I'm not happy and I'm not gonna be happy and you can't make me happy. Right? Passive aggressive. You can be passive aggressive with God. No matter what you do, you can't make me happy. I would like you to put your fingers like this. Make a square screen if you can. And I want you to imagine your life, your house, through that screen. See, hold on. Put that screen down a second. Okay, we'll come back to it. See, when we look at the movies sometimes, and they show somebody's life, we go like, wow, look what they have. Look what they're doing. Look at their children. Right? Look at their family. Look at their backyard. Right? We look at these movies and we're like, oh, I wish I had that. But then we ignore what God has given us. Al, you know you have a beautiful backyard? Put a screen to it. If you can't see it with your eyes, make a screen. Look at my family. Oh my goodness. Have I ever imagined when I was 15, 20, that I'll have a family like this? I have been blessed. It's only something that's in the movies and I'm living it. I've seen this in the movies. I've seen my backyard in the movies in a country with trees, fruit trees growing. And now we have a trampoline. Amen. I've seen that in movies. And yet, sometimes we can have everything and cannot enjoy. And you know what Bible says? That's a curse. In Ecclesiastes, it says God gives man everything. Riches, glory, honor, wealth, children. But the man can't enjoy it. And that, he says, it's the vanity of vanities. I do not want to be that person. You do not want to be that person who God gave everything to, and you cannot enjoy it because there's always a little bit more. There's always gonna be a little bit more. Amen. And Jesus Christ says, I want you to have life and life to the fullest now. So if you're sitting next to your spouse, grab their hand. Okay? Grab their hand. You have it now. You have it now. If you have a bank account, a few dollars in there, you have it now. I think sometimes we're so blessed that we're bored. I was looking at a swallow the other day. And you know a swallow? In a country, you have a lot of them. They fly and eat mosquitoes, hopefully. I was looking at a swallow and I'm like, and God kind of spoke to me and says, look, it's always flying. It's always busy. I'm sitting there on the deck, you know. And the swallow is always flying. And God says, you know where true happiness is? In her flight. In living the life. But see, we live in a country, we have it so good that we have too much time, I think. Too much time to just sit there instead of spreading your wings and flying. And God wants you to fly. God wants you to fly. The joy of a swallow is in her flight. Your joy is in your activity, in moving for God, walking by faith, not sitting by faith. For we sit by faith, right? No, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Get moving. Get off your holy, sweet bottom and move. If Swallow had to sit in her nest for too long, it would get depressed too. But thank God it doesn't. It has to go and catch the flies. So it's doing good. It's enjoying the flight. And it's busy. We walk by faith and not by sight. Who am I talking to today? Amen. Walk by faith. Get up and walk by faith. Let's get back to the verses, or I won't finish it again. And we still have communion. Last part. But David, so you can imagine, the men are angry. They cried first, they felt sorrow, now they need somebody to blame. The men need somebody to blame. And if you know anything about those men, they were worthless men, Bible says. Worthless man. I know the Bible sometimes says it like it is. Meaning, what does it mean, worthless man? Well, these guys were not the cream of the crop. They were those who were broke and they had to run away. So they had debt. They were somebody who offended the king or a politician, and they were on a hit list. They were the most wanted of those days, guys. And they had nowhere to go, so they went and hung out with David. They were a band of bandits. That's who they were. So David didn't have the greatest man, the most polite, the most educated, the most wise. He had regular dudes. And they said, we're going to stone him. What kind of leader is that? But David, this is the key scripture, but David found strength in the Lord, his God. In another translation, but David strengthened himself. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. There's the scripture. How do you get out of that swamp you're in mentally? How do you get out of you can't even get up to go to work? You can't even get out of bed. One of the keys, and I'm going to talk about that, is he strengthened himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord. You know that that psychologists are now learning this, and they're realizing that what Bible says is true, but except they throw God out of it. They steal these principles from the Bible, and then they throw God out of it. They understand that these principles work. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Let's keep going. Next verse. Then he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring me the ephod. Ephod was the clothes that they would wear before they would pray. Okay? And they were searching for the Lord. So like a priest now would wear a certain priestly robes, not skinny jeans or nothing. You know? Different times, people. Different times. Okay? So David says, bring me the ephod. So they brought him whatever this ephod was, the special clothing. He put it on, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it was some kind of a hat they brought him. But it was something to do. They had to put it on their body. Bring me the ephod. And then David asked the Lord. So he prays here. Notice, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. Amen. Amen. So today, like I said, we're talking about four steps to confidence. And I already said that God wants you to be confident and not insecure. Hebrews 10:35 says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Confidence brings a reward. Joshua 1:9 says this. This is my commandment. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Don't get insecure, people. Okay? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How do you encourage yourself in alert? There is a perfect verse. You don't allow yourself to go down. You don't allow yourself to mentally go down there. You know that I'm still part-time in business, and I'm trying to get out, and as soon as I can, I will. But in business world, I have seen this so many times. One day, a while back, I was meeting with a young man. He was very good at what he did. He, as a technician, he was very good. But something happened, and I've seen this. Sometimes people go through a divorce and they lose their confidence. And something that they know well, if you're a bricklayer, you know bricklaying, but suddenly you feel like you can't do it anymore, right? I told you a story when I went to play volleyball, and I thought I was actually really good. And then I played with people who made me lose my confidence. And I couldn't hit the ball for nothing. And I was mad at myself. I'm like, what the heck? You know, why can't I hit the ball? I'm good. Confidence makes you struggle. And confidence made him struggle so bad that he says, I don't have any money. I said, why aren't you at work? Because he's a manager, so he kind of makes his own hours. And I said, why aren't you at work? He said, I don't have any money. Think about it. Andre, am I telling? Where's Andre? He's coming to the second service. Okay, they're somewhere sitting, sipping something over there. All right. Sipping something in the back room. They come with their wives to the second service. Okay, I explained it. Anyway, and I'm like, why aren't you at work? He says, I don't have any money. Like, so what do? I play video games. I'm like, you know how money is made? You gotta go to work. But he's like, I don't have any confidence. I don't know if I can do the job. I said, you know why we hired you 2 years ago? Because we knew you could do the job. We would never allow you to run your own crew if you didn't have the skills to do it. So what's stopping you? And he had tears in his eyes. I don't know if I can do it. I mean, what do you mean you don't know if you can do it? You've done it for 3.5 years now. What do you mean you can't do it? Confidence made this man stop believing. And you know what? What I began to do in the past when I was younger, I was like, if you don't improve, you're out of here. Okay, if you don't start producing a certain amount, you're out of here. But I know the power that confidence has and encouragement has. Guys, there's so much power in encouragement. The encouragement power is stronger than the fear of losing a job. Because he was on the verge of giving up. I'm telling you, he was on the verge of giving up. And I'm not talking about just one guy here. I'm talking about multiple people I have seen. And I have helped by the grace of God to overcome this insecurity, this no confidence thing. And I said, and I started building into him. I said, do you know that God is for you? He wants to bless you. I didn't think about it. You know that God wants to, you know, provide for you financially and you can do the job. And I began to encourage him. And by the time I was done, I said, I'm going to put you on a plan, okay? So every morning you get up, you have to start work this time. I know you can make your own hours, but I need you to start like this. Guys, in 2.5 weeks, this guy was on top. Let me tell you, the last 2 months, this guy was almost number one producer in the company. Confidence. Confidence makes you achieve greater things. You know what I'm talking about? David had to encourage himself. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So what are you facing today? Are you facing loneliness? Are you a single mother and your confidence is down? I don't know if anybody will love me. I'm 30 years old. I'm 25 years old. I don't know. I have 2 kids. I have 3 kids. I don't know if anybody will love me. That's the devil right there. That's his thoughts. That's not God's thoughts. Because God says, I love you as much as I love Jesus. Okay? And I have a plan for you. I'm not done with you. But while the devil is keeping you in this mire, this mud, and this pity, God cannot work in your life. Did you know that Israelites made it to the border of Promised Land? And everybody, over 1 million people, died in the desert, never entering the promise, except 2 people, Joshua and Caleb. And you know what the difference was? Joshua said, we can do it. Yes, we can. And you know what? The rest of them said, no, we can't. Confidence will lead you into the promised land God has for you. And discouragement will keep you in a place where you are now. Your choice. You have two people. One is going to the promised land and inheriting what God has for him. And another one is living in pity. Listen, if you're 25-year-old single mother, most people just finishing college. You know how they say 30 is the new 40? So we live in a culture now, everything is 10 years back or opposite way, right? So you can say, hey, I'm just starting my life. I'm just starting my life. And God has somebody there for you. I want to encourage single parents that God has somebody there for you. Just trust them. Begin to pray for it. Amen. You can do it. Some of you are in debt right now and you just barely pay your bills. And you're like, if only I could get rid of this debt, but I can never because... And you make an excuse. And your mind will always find why you can't. But God says you can. You can. I did it for other people. I helped other people. And I'm going to help you. But you got to encourage yourself and the Lord. Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. God doesn't want you to even come to him. Now, God accepts everybody. Don't get me wrong. But he prefers you come to him with confidence. Confidence and faith, they're tied together. So God says, when you come to me, come with confidence. In this story that we read about David, David first encouraged himself in the Lord, and then you know what he did? He prayed and asked God if he should chase the bandits or not. Huh, why did he do that? Did the Bible mix that up? Shouldn't he pray first, then encourage himself? No. David encouraged him first. He understood the principle of the Spirit. You encourage yourself first. And then you come to God and you ask him in faith. When you ask God in faith, he's more likely to do what you ask him to do. If it's according to his will, there's other things in play. If it's, if nobody else's will is involved either. But God wants us to come confident before him. Proverbs 3:26 says, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. I love that. The Lord is my confidence. I trust in him. A famous philosopher and Roman politician, Marcus Cicero, said this, if you have no confidence in yourself, you are twice defeated in the race of life. Let me read that again. If you have no confidence in self, you are twice defeated in a race of life. With confidence, you have won even before you have started. Woo-hoo. With confidence, you have won even before you have started. Isn't that what faith is? We call those things that are not as though they were. A person who walks by faith believes that it's already done. He just works out the detail. Confidence is so important. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence. Helen Keller. Without confidence. I've noticed with my kids how confidence is important. You have children, right? And I was never good in school, so I never really paid attention to the grades of my kids. One of my kids is like super good in school and another is average. And I was like, oh, that's good, you know. But then in New Year's somewhere, right before the New Year's, I found out that my son, my favorite son, the son who I love so much, he's good at science and all that other stuff, but math was kind of not his thing. And so what I found out is that his math was like way behind. So what I did was I said, son, I'm going to be tough on you now. Tough love. That's it. You're going to do homework. So I would send him to do homework, and he would sit there and just like cry and, you know, moan and groan, and homework wouldn't be done. And so I'm like, so this doesn't work, okay? So now I sat with him and started finding out. And what I started finding out that he has self-talked him into believing that he cannot do this. He made himself believe that math is not his thing. He's not going to do it because he can do it. He's not smart enough. And so what we started to do, I started working with him, spending more time, making sure he did what he did. And then I started, but then I noticed that still, it was in his mind. And I started saying, Alex, you're smart. Alex, you're a Klimchuk, and Klimchuks were smart, you know. We're good at math. And so started encouraging him to the point where 2 days ago, I wake up in the morning, my son comes to me and says, Dad, I have this routine now. I brush my teeth and I did my math. What else do you need me to do? Didn't you say that? Then he's like, confident. See, you got to stay confident. Don't lose your confidence. You're in debt. Say, God, I'm going to get out of this. You are afraid. Say, God, I shall fear no evil because you're with me. If I only fear you, so I don't have to fear anything else. If you're worried, go to him and put all your worries on him. If you're anxious, talk to him about your anxieties. God wants to hear from you. Your insecurity can make you stop 1 mile in front of your goal that God has for you. Your insecurity will stop you from what God has for you. And so I'm hoping today that you didn't hear 9 weeks of insecurity sermon series, but you are still insecure. Amen. So how? 4 steps to life of confidence. Number one, how do we overcome insecurity? It all starts with prayer. That's number one, prayer. How can prayer help me be confident? I believe prayer is antidote for fear, anxiety, insecurity, worry. Prayer is all that. I wrote on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, the antidote, prayer is an antidote to fear and anxiety. Here's how you overcome your fear. Go to your room, close the door, go inside your car, close the door, and tell God your worst fears. And before you finish telling him your worst fears, I guarantee you that either you'll realize 2 things. One, your fear is a joke. It's irrational. But just talking to God about your fear, you'll realize, number one, that your fear is irrational. Or number two, God will tell you that I'm bigger than that fear. Every single time. 2 options. It's irrational or I'm bigger than that and I got it. A couple of weeks ago, I had to do that. I had to drive and I had to pray and I had to say, God, this is my fear. And I had to tell him that fear. Today, I can't even remember what I was talking to him about. And I realized that that fear was foolish. It wasn't real. It's like, it's just made up. My mind made up that fear. And, you know, devil just whispers, and you believe it. I believe the wrong information. I allowed a virus in the computer. And you know what that virus does? It corrupts the information that God has for you. So I needed update. Right, you go on your phone, if you're an iPhone person, and you get an update. And then it kind of erases all your old viruses or whatever. The devil, the information, the corrupt information the devil sent into your mind, get an update in prayer. Guys, listen to me. If you're new, watch this. Prayer is an updating process. Prayer is an updating. Your phone would have so many viruses if you never updated it. You couldn't use it. Your computer becomes slow, sluggish, right? Crashes on you. Why? Viruses. Something that's not supposed to be there is impacting. In prayer, God is downloading new information, His word into your life. Amen. Amen. So pray. Go to your room and pray. Ask Him to help you identify your insecurity. Tell Him to, God, help me identify my fears. Why am I anxious, God? Have you noticed when your account, savings account becomes low, you start being anxious and you don't even realize it? Have you ever been there? If you're young, you're like, I don't know, man. But don't think that far. But if you're like in your mid-20s to 30s up, you know, you're like, I don't know why I'm afraid. And then when you sit down and start talking to God about it, God's like, you're just worried about money. And I got you. Have I ever abandoned you in the last 37 years of your life? No. Then I'll never leave you and forsake you. I got you covered. I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand. I got you covered. And before, and when you leave the presence of God, the prayer room, you're like, oh, what was it I was so anxious or worried about? Listen to me. Even if you don't believe in God, if you go and talk to Him, scientists tell us, psychologists tell us, it will help you. So just the technique itself works. But who is behind the technique? Prayer is a tool that connects us to God. Because the world is limited with their own techniques. You need a stronger power that stands behind it. And that's why Jesus would daily spend hours in prayer. He would just sit there and talk to the Father. Prayer is powerful. Want to overcome your insecurity? Start having regular prayer. Feel anxious? Don't know why? Go in your closet, lock the door, fall on your face and say, God, I think I'm anxious. Tell me what it is. And trust me, He'll show you. You're worried about money, your kids, your husband, your wife. You know, sometimes it's just, you're just depressed a little bit. And God needs to give you a shot of information of joy. Amen. So prayer. Pray before Him. Did you know that God is the greatest counselor there is? Did you know that in prayer, God will also counsel you? You know what His name is? His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. He's a counselor. He will counsel you. Today He's counseling you. Did you know that? Yeah, it's this preacher yelling and spitting, but behind that, God is doing a work inside of your heart. He's teaching you something. My strength comes from the Lord. Number two, so prayer is number one. Number two, learn to encourage yourself. Talk to yourself. Every Sunday I come here, I feel like I can't preach. And I feel like, can I call Pastor Judy and she can come and preach for me? Every Sunday, I have a fear of preaching. And some of you are like, Pastor, how can you say that? You're so confident out there. I heard from you, right? But every Sunday before our prayer, you know, pastors, we meet in my office before the service. I feel like, can I ask you to preach? On Friday, I said, Tanya, can you please preach for me? I just don't want to preach. I just feel so unconfident. And you know what God has taught me and how I overcome that and why I could be struggling here and still confident? Because I learned to encourage myself in the Lord. I said, say this to myself, God, You called me. I'm here not because I put myself here. I'm a chosen one. If you know Matrix, how many of you like Matrix movies? The chosen one. What's his name? Neo. He's a chosen one. He doesn't believe it yet. But He's a chosen one. So I have to tell myself, You're the chosen one. God chose you to do this. You were chosen to be a mom to those kids. God chose you. That means He knows you're the best hope for those children. What are you talking about being a bad mom? God chose you to be a dad to those kids. Sometimes even your stepkids. God chose you. And once you begin to speak to yourself, you get confident. I can do this. I can do this. And so I come out here and I yell and then I'm like, whoa, I can't believe I did that. Every Sunday, I'm serious. I can't believe I did that. God, encourage yourself. Put 1 Samuel 36, David encouraged himself in the Lord. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Who do you find strength in? God. Every time I spend time with God, I get stronger. I get more happier. Number three, how do you overcome insecurity and become confident? Love yourself as God loves you. Love yourself. How can I love myself when I'm too short? Can't change. Love yourself and your imperfections. Love yourself. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at who you are. You know, you're a machine. How can a person live? Where's the energy comes from? There's a battery inside of you. There's an engine inside of you. You got a brain. You have a computer inside of you. You can connect to God. You have a wireless system inside of you where you can connect with God. You can connect interdimensionally. You can have a communion with the Spirit. You see what I mean? You are a machine. When David looked at himself and he realized who he was, not who what he doesn't have, not because he was not as tall as Saul was, he said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows that very well. You got to love yourself, because if you don't love yourself, you will hate other people. Love yourself. Number three, God made you his masterpiece. I'm old, still a masterpiece, old masterpiece. Old wine is better, I heard, right? Old paintings are more expensive, right? Or old cars cost more. Help me out, somebody. So you can find a reason to think why you shouldn't, or you can find a reason to think why you should. Love yourself. And number four, accept your weaknesses. And I'm not talking about your sin, okay? I'm talking about your weaknesses. We all have them. Like, for example, one of my weaknesses is, and this is like, I have to practice reading a scripture for Sunday. And some of you have the same weakness. You can't read. Very good. You can't read. You're like, what do you call that? Yeah, you skip words, or you make up words. What? Dyslexic, maybe? Yeah, ADD, whatever. And you're like, I'm reading a scripture. I see it, but I skip it. And then I return to it. And I'm like I have anxieties for reading scriptures out loud. And that's a weakness. And I'm like, a while back, we had a guy, and I would have him record my main scripture and put music effect to it. Do you remember that? We had, and he would record it on a video on his computer, and it would read, and it would read, and music would play, some cool music. And then I would come out and say, okay, now that it's over with. But you, accept yourself. Accept yourself. Accept your body style. Accept your imperfections, because accept your weaknesses, not your sins, okay? Your weaknesses. God can use even your weaknesses. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, this is Apostle Paul, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Do you realize that God works more in your weaknesses than in your strength? Wow! You think God is going to use your strength, and he will, but he will show more glory, more. He manifests himself more through your weakness than your power. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Paul, you crazy. I delight in weaknesses, in insults, and in hardships, and in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Take that. And anyway, for when I'm weak, I am strong. Paul realized the secret to insecurity, that God will work in my weaknesses. So two options. You can say, oh, I'm so weak. I can't even pronounce words. My vocabulary is like 1,000 words. That's it. Why am I a preacher? And God says, no, I will work in your weaknesses because my power has no limits. Your weakness cannot stop my power. Your mustard seed cannot stop my faith in your life, my work in your life. Your weakness cannot stop God's power in your life. So when you realize there's something about you that you can't change, and I'm not talking about sins. If you're a liar, you gotta stop lying. Okay, that's just, you know, battle with it for till you overcome it. But when you realize there's something about you that you can't change, just say, God, work through it. God, use me in the area of my weaknesses. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing series. It's over with. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for growing us spiritually. We come to you and we ask you, God, for two things. Help us with our insecurities. Point to us our insecurities that we don't even see, Father. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you would continue to work with us, that we wouldn't be the people like Israelites who made it to the border of the promised land and then died in the desert without receiving what was promised. God, we are not those people. We are the people of promise, God. I believe you've been working in us. You have been downloading the update while I was preaching into our hearts, Lord. So you are going to change us through it. Satan is weak before your word, before your presence, God. He has no power. I thank you, God, that your people are walking in confidence, walking out of this service because you are with us. You are our strength, you are our confidence, you are our counselor. You are a mighty God. You are our Father. We come to you. And when we come to you, and I want to tell somebody here today that God is pleased with you. Just like Jesus, when he was baptized, he heard a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased in him. And I want to tell you that God is more pleased in you than you imagine. God is more pleased with your progress than you imagine. You shouldn't have even been here this morning, but God is pleased with you because what you had to overcome, God is pleased with you, and he's working in your life, and you will never be the same.